today. Take your time. Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Philippians 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this moment. Lord, I pray that we would find our identity in who you say we are. To the saints. Lord Jesus, I pray that where there's been a block in our identity, where there's been a lie in our identity, I pray that it would be broken in the name of Jesus today. Lord, where there's been a block and a hindrance to our prayers, where it feels like there is a ceiling that we can't get through to you and that you can't get through to us, I pray that the glass would be broken today. Lord Jesus, I pray that heaven would come down in this room and that even if it's just one person that feels like they can't speak to you, like they can't hear from you, and they feel completely numb and apathetic in this room today, they feel like they haven't felt anything in a long time, I pray that it would be broken today in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, please let that be broken off right now for somebody in this room. I just pray there's someone in this room. I've been feeling it all morning for them. I've been feeling the burden of what it's like to not be able to have my prayers go up to you, that they would not be received, that I cannot hear from your holy voice. Lord Jesus, I pray that it would be broken because I hate that block. I hated what I've been experiencing all morning. I hate that for this person. I pray that it be broken in your name, Jesus. That every block and every hindrance would be crushed and destroyed in your name. Because that's what you did and that's what you came to do. And that's why the stone was rolled away. There's no more block. The tomb is empty. Lord Jesus, let us feel your presence today in this moment. Gentleness is rushing through the room. Fire is rushing through the room. Where you were cold, there's warmth. Where there was numbness, there's a feeling. Holy Spirit, please, just stoke the flame today. Lord, I pray that today that the flames would be stirred by your word. I pray that honor, as we honor you, that it would be the key to unlocking what's been holding us back from moving forward into everything you've called us to. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you for moving. Peace like a river. Just flowing in this moment. Jesus, we receive you. We honor you. We know that the Father sent you. Holy Spirit, we receive you and we honor you because we know it was better that the Son left so that you could come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew 10, verse 40 says this: he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Mark 6. We had Pastor Matt here on Friday, and he preached from this passage. I want to go back to it for just a moment. It says this, Mark 6, verse 1. Then he, Jesus, went out from there, and he came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. Offense will keep you from receiving who God has sent to you. Offense will be a block. It will be a hindrance. It will be a wall. It will be the thing that keeps you from receiving everything that God has for you. If you're struggling with hearing from him in this season, if you feel like you keep reaching out, you keep pressing in, and you're like, I don't hear God speak. I hear people talking about it. They hear God speak. I haven't experienced that. And you've been feeling what I described in the beginning. You feel that numbness. You feel apathetic. But you know, you keep hearing these testimonies of people hearing from the Lord. Let me tell you something. Offense will be a block in your life. If you are offended constantly, if you are constantly a victim and you're mad and you're bitter and you're angry, offense will keep you from hearing from the Holy Spirit. And so if you're wondering if that's it, ask the Lord, Lord, is there an offense in my heart? Am I offended at somebody? Is there something blocking me from hearing you? And if he brings somebody to mind, just begin to pray a blessing over that person. Because as you pray for a blessing for that person, it will begin to break the offense in your heart. And you'll begin to forgive truly that person. It will feel unnatural. It will feel not normal at first. It will feel awkward and strange because you know in your heart that person did you wrong. We've all been there. You know in your heart, like Lord, you know what they did to me. They deserve for me to be mad at you or to be mad at them. But it will create a block between you and the Lord. That's what it does. And so if you're mad, if you're bitter, if you're offended, it's keeping you from experiencing his full presence in your life. Don't let offense keep you from receiving who God has sent you, his own son, Jesus. Verse 4, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now he could do no mighty work there. Jesus, the Son of God, could do no mighty work there because why? There was offense and there was no honor. Jesus, the Son of God, he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. You may not always like who God sends you, but will you receive them? You may not always like the person that God has sent. You may not always like the message that they've come to deliver, but will you receive? Will you be wise enough and discerning enough to be able to tell the difference between somebody that comes from the world and somebody that comes from the Word? Because if it comes from Jesus, if it comes from the Father, it lines up with the Word. And so when they give you a word, and if you are offended, if you are angry, if you are mad, if you don't like it, can you take it back to the Word and line it up with him? And if it lines up with the word, can you not receive it as if it's from that person, but can you then receive it as if it came from the Father? Because the Father, he uses all kinds of vessels. He uses all kinds of people, and some of them you might like, and some of them you might feel good about. You might be like, yeah, I could receive a word from that person. I respect them. They're nice. They're kind. They say what I want to hear. But that might not be the person that God's chosen to send to you. Can you receive the person? It may not line up with what you desired and what you thought it would be, but if it lines up with the word, don't throw it out. Don't disregard it. Matthew 21, verse 33 says this, hear another parable. This is Jesus teaching. There was a certain landowner. I'll give you time if you're flipping there. Matthew 21, verse 33. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard, and he set a hedge around it. He dug a wine press in it. He built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. He built these things, and then he leased it to vine dressers, and he went into a far country. Now, when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them, beat them, killed them, stoned them. Verse 37, then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and they cast him out of the vineyard and they killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably, lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits of their seasons. Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruit of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whoever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now, when the chief priests and Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took him for a prophet. What happened? What did the father do? He planted a vineyard. He set a hedge around it. He dug a wine press and he built a tower. And then he leased it to the vine dressers. And he went into a far country. He did everything for them. He set them up for success. He placed them there. And he went away. What did he do? He trusted them to steward what he had given them. Will you steward what God's given you? Stewardship is ownership. That's what it is. If you steward what he's given you and you steward it and you give to him what is his, he will bless you. He will honor you. We talk about this all the time. What do? We give to him the first and the best. Why? Oh, well, so we can... Why do we tithe? Oh, so we can pay people. No. So we can keep the heat on. No, I see some of you. You're wearing jackets. You know the heat's not on very high in here. The heat just doesn't work very good in this building. But that's all right. That's why we're sitting close today. Why? Why do we tithe? Because it's honor. In Leviticus 19, it says there were trees planted. And in the fourth year, when they began to produce fruit and the fruit was clean, what did they do? That first year, when the fruit was clean, they gave it to the Lord. They gave the Lord the first and the best. Why? To honor him. Because they knew everything they had came from him. He built the vineyard. He built the hedge. He built the tower. It all came from him anyway. It's all his. And so all you're doing when you give that first tenth, that first of the increase, that first of what he's brought in of the harvest in your life, you're not giving yours. You're just giving back to him what is his. That's it. And then what does he do? He blesses you. He does. But instead, what do? What do we see in this parable? Who does he send? He sends people over and over again. Who does he send? He sends the prophets. And the prophets keep coming back to Israel over and over throughout their history. And they keep warning them and telling them, you're not honoring the Lord. You've forgotten the Lord. Turn back to the Lord. Repent and turn back to the Lord. You've gone astray. And they keep warning them. And what did they do to the prophets? They killed the prophets. And then we think today, because of Jesus, what's happened, we think today as the church, oh, we're separate. We're not Israel. No, no, no. We've been grafted in. We've been grafted into the vine. We're a part of Israel. So now Israel's history is our history. And so now, if you don't learn from Israel's history, you will repeat their history. And you'll do the same thing when you get a word of warning. And some of you, you're here right now, and you're saying, I don't need to give 10%. That's Old Testament. No, no. Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render to the Lord what is the Lord's. Why do we give? To honor him. Now, instead of killing or stoning the prophets, what do? We go from church to church to find prophets that will tell us what we want to hear, that will tell us what our itching ears desire to hear. And that's why last year I told you I knew this was a word from the Lord. He wanted to teach people to be planted. This is a house where we get planted and we let our roots grow down deep in the Lord. We don't go from house to house looking to hear what we want to hear, because we know we just want to hear from him. And we just want to hear from his word. And his holy word does not change. It is not fickle. It does not go to the left or to the right. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And so we look to his word, and his word is a lamp, and it's a guide for what he's calling us into. And as we begin to honor him, our lives will change. If you begin to honor him, it will change the direction of your life. You may not like where your life is right now, but it will change as you begin to truly honor him. What does honor mean? It's heavy. It's weighty. In the Hebrew, it literally means it was heavy enough to open the inside door. The inside door was heavy. In these ancient homes, you had to press. You had to put your weight into it. It took strength to open the inside door. That's what honor does. It gives you access into places that where if you are too weak, if you lack honor, you cannot gain access to. You can't gain access to heaven's throne if you lack honor. If you don't understand the weight of his glory. If you treat him lightly. If you treat him lightly, what are you doing? You are cursing Jesus. You might say, I've never cursed Jesus. Maybe never by word, but by your actions. When you treat his word lightly, when you do not esteem him as worthy, what are you doing? It says you treat him lightly, and that word is used as a curse in the Hebrew. Lightly was literally, it was like a feather. It weighed nothing. That's how little you think of Jesus, when your actions don't line up with his word. And you might be thinking right now, this might be kind of new to you. You're like, I've never heard this. This sounds kind of Old Testament. What did Jesus say? If you love me, obey my commandments. He didn't throw out the Old Testament. No, no, no. He came to fulfill the Old Testament. The Old Testament is loving. The Old Testament is kind. Some of you are like, there's a lot of death. There's a lot of murder back there. No, no, no. I'm telling you, the more you look at the full picture of who God is and what he's been doing from the very beginning, all the way through from Genesis to Revelation, it's beautiful. It's love. That's what he wants you to understand today. If your actions don't begin to change and line up with his word, you don't really love him. But you can repent and you can say today, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that my actions haven't lined up with your word. Lord, please forgive me. I want to walk in fullness. Lord Jesus, please fill me with your Holy Spirit because I want to walk in the fullness of everything you have for me. And as you're filled with his Holy Spirit, he'll begin to change the desires of your heart. And you'll begin to long and desire to fulfill his word and to walk in obedience to it. And so if you don't desire that right now, I would just challenge you that the Holy Spirit is either not living within you or you have quenched his voice in your life. And I would challenge you today to repent and to invite him in and say, Lord, just pray a simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, my body is a temple of your presence. I invite you in. You are Lord and Savior. Invite him in this moment. Tell him that you desire to honor him, to walk in the fullness of everything that he has for you. Honor will change your life. 1 Peter. No. Let me think here. Yeah, 1 Peter. Go there. 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3, verse 7. Says this, husbands, likewise, dwell with them, with your wives, that's who he's talking about here, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Without honor, your prayers will be hindered. That's what he's saying here. If you don't honor your wife, then how can you even honor me? If you don't honor people, then how do you really honor me? Honor changes things. If you feel like there's a hindrance, if you feel like there's a block in your prayer life, do you really honor your wife? Wives, do you really honor your husbands? It becomes a block to your prayers. Finally, verse 8. All of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. Be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? What's it mean to be righteous? You seek to do what is right. You seek to do what his word says is right. You begin to understand that the difference is his word. The difference between righteousness and unrighteousness, it's his word. And as you begin to live in it and walk in it, it begins to unlock things in your life. And all of a sudden, the eyes of the Lord, they're on your life. And his ears are open to their prayers, it says. All of a sudden, you have access to heaven's throne room. As you begin to honor him, to honor his word, to honor people. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. If it feels like God is against you, if you're here today and you feel like, nope, God's not for me, he's against me, he's always been against me, and you've been playing the victim card and you're offended at the Lord, I would just challenge you today, begin to deal with that offense. Begin to pray a blessing for the Lord. And that might sound crazy. That might sound crazy in a weird sense. Who am I to pray that? Why do I need to forgive the Lord? Because you're offended at him. And forgiveness is not for the other person. It's for you. It's for you. And so as you forgive, it begins to open up your heart. And you begin to realize, oh, this whole time I've been mad at God because I wanted him to do something and he didn't show up the way I thought he would. Or maybe you had these expectations on God of what he was going to do in your life, and then reality did not meet those expectations. And the difference between your expectations and reality, that's where you are hurt and offended, and you feel that towards God. But as you begin to pray blessings for him and you begin to thank him, that offense will begin to get broken down, and the wall and the hindrance between you and him will be broken. And I just feel like there's some walls that need to be broken today. There's some expectations that you had for the Lord and what he was going to do on your life. There's some expectations that you had for your kids, and your kids are not turning out the way that you thought they would. Their lives, right now, they've moved out of your home, and they're not even there anymore, and their lives don't look the way that you wanted them to. And you're frustrated, and you're mad, and you're sad, and you had expectations, and you say, God, I thought I was doing all these things, and I thought I was yours, and I thought you were going to do something, and I thought my life would look different, my kids would look different. And so now there's this expectation, but then there's reality of what's actually going on, and your kids are far from the Lord, they're far from you, and there's bitterness and anger and offense all throughout your family. And you're trying to control all these other things. All you can control is you. You need to begin to deal with your hurt and your offense towards the Lord. And you're like, but you don't understand. My son, my daughter is far from the Lord. They're far from us. God doesn't want to deal with them right now. He wants to deal with you. And if you'll begin to let him, if you'll begin to let him work and heal, guess what's going to happen? As you begin to honor him as Lord in your life and let him do a good work of healing on your heart, that healing is going to release a dam within your heart, because every offense, every hurt is a stone, and every stone is a block from the flow of living water. And as those blocks get removed from your heart, and that's what he's going to do. He's going to take them one by one and remove them and separate them as far as the east is from the west. The water of the Holy Spirit is about to flow out of your heart, and it's going to flow, and it's going to go downstream to your kids, because you and your kids are connected in the Spirit. And so what's happening in mom and dad's heart, or what's happening in grandpa and grandma's heart, it's going to flow down to dad and mom. It's going to flow down to the grandkids. And it's going to flow down to generations. You might want it to happen right now, but it's a process. And it just starts with you. That's why we do freedom. That's why we're offering freedom coming up in February. For some of you, it'll happen in a moment. You'll receive healing at the altar. You'll receive freedom. You'll receive deliverance. But for some of you, it's a process. And it's something God wants to walk with you in this next season. And so I'm telling you, sign up for freedom in January. It's $30. You get a book and a journal. That's all we're charging people for. There's an incredible kids ministry. If you're worried about what do I do with my kids during freedom, we got an incredible kids ministry. You can come here. You can trust that your kids are going to learn about Jesus. Doesn't matter what age they are, if they're in high school, middle school, or if they're little kids, they're going to learn about Jesus that night, and he's going to start to work on your heart, and he's going to start to remove stones from your heart, and the water's going to flow, and it's going to flow down. It's going to flow down to your kids, to your grandkids. It's going to flow down to generations. People will be changed. Lives will be changed. The church will be changed. You will never be the same as you begin to walk with him and let him do a good work on you. He's gentle. He's kind. It begins with honor. Some of you, I told you, you had these expectations for what your life should look like, and this is why you're mad at God. You thought they were going to look like this. The reality is they look like this. And you want to blame God for it. But before you look outward, you have to look inward. Before you look outward, you have to look inward. Before you look at God and say, God, why did you do this? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't you show up? Why, God, why does my life look like a mess right now? Why am I going through this heartbreak? Why is this happening to me? Why is every relationship around me crumbling? And all he is looking back at you and saying is, did you honor me? Did you honor my son whom I sent? Did you honor my word? Look inward. If you're being honest, have you really been walking in a life that honors God the Father, that honors Jesus, the King, the Son, that honors the Word, that honors His Holy Spirit? Every time I've been mad at God, every time I've been bitter at Him, I'll never forget being a high school, I don't know, junior, senior, and I'm sitting like I'm mad at God because everything I'd kind of been building at that time in my life, it was crumbling down. It was being destroyed. I had this whole idea, this expectation of what my life was going to look like. I was an athlete. I played baseball. I dated pretty girls. You know, that's what I did. That was my identity, all right? And that was what I was known for, and that's what I liked being known for. And all of a sudden, it was going crumbling down all around me. And I was like, Lord, why is this happening? I thought I was going to go on and play college baseball, and I was going to play pro baseball, and I was going to, you know, that was it, baseball and women. That was all I really cared about. It was pretty shallow. I was going to marry, who was it? I think it was Hillary Duff. That was who I was in love with at the time. I had this whole expectation in my mind. This is, you know, embarrassing secrets of a pastor right here. This is me. That was what I wanted for my life, and I had these expectations, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there with a broken thumb, and I can't play baseball, and I'm just like, and everything's kind of going wrong in my life at that point, and I'm like, Lord, every time I thought I was starting to get control of my life, and things were going the direction I wanted it to go, and now here I am, I'm in a dark room all by myself, and I'm mad at God, and I'm yelling at Him, and I'm angry, and I'm pissed, and I'm just like, I hate you. Why did you do this to me? And He said, did I do this to you or did you do this to yourself? And I started to look at every action I'd been taking. And I opened up God's word to 1 John chapter 2. And it said, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I said, I'm not going to live forever. When I read that, I said, I'm not going to live forever. And I said, I'm sorry, Lord, and I repent, and I turn back to you. I haven't honored you with my life because I was chasing after the world. I was chasing after the lust of my heart, the cravings of my sinful flesh. I was chasing after all of it, and I did not honor him. I said I honored him on Sundays. I showed up on Sundays, but the rest of my life, Monday through Saturday, I didn't honor him. I lived how I wanted to live, and I was disobedient, and I kept thinking, oh, I got grace. I can do what I want. Don't abuse his grace. Don't abuse his grace. Don't abuse it. It's a gift, and it empowers you not to walk in sin, but to run away from sin. That's what grace is for. Because you look at what Jesus did for you, and why would you abuse his grace? Why would you go on sinning so that grace may increase? That's not how it works. No, don't go on sinning. Begin to run towards him because he's a good father who sent his son. Run away from sin. Run away from the lust of this world. Run away from the cravings of this world because they do not satisfy. I thought I was going to live forever. In that moment, I knew I was on the path to hell. I thought I said the right things, but do you do the right things? Anyone can say it, but do you do it? He began to change my heart that day. And I began to take him at his word. I began to honor his word, not just in mouth, not just in lip service, but in my actions and in my obedience. When he gives you a word, honor it. How do I honor it? Obey him. Obey him. Obedience is honor. When you walk in obedience, you honor the Lord. When you walk in obedience, it honors the Lord. When you walk in disobedience, what are you doing? You are dishonoring the Lord. Well, if you're not treating him as heavy, what are you doing? You're treating him as light. If you're treating him as light, what are you doing? You're cursing the Lord. Those who curse the Lord will be accursed. And you wonder why your life is falling apart around you. You wonder why nothing seems to go right. Are you walking in obedience or disobedience? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 14. Paul says this, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. Church, I say the same thing. I don't say these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, church, I love you. You're Christ's beloved. You're the Father's beloved. I've been sent by him to lead this church. He raised up Steph and I to lead this church. He's called us into pastoring this church. In this next season, he's raising us up to pastor together, because every good church, every good house needs a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. That's what we've been called to in this house. And so he's been working on that in our house, and he's been working in that in this house, leading us and showing us what it looks like to love and care for his church, to be a spiritual father and a spiritual mother. And so sometimes that means we say hard things. Why? Because we love and care for his church. We love and care for his people. Worship team, you can come up as we get ready to close. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. You could have 10,000 instructors. You can still have 10,000 instructors today. You can go around on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram, and you can find all kinds of people preaching and teaching the gospel. And they'll say, you can find just the right people that are saying exactly what you want to hear. But are they saying what you need to hear? That's why you get planted in God's house. You get under a spiritual mother and a spiritual father that have been called and appointed for that season. Because guess what? He's got something for you. He's got a blessing for you if you'll begin to walk in obedience to his word. Verse 16, therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love and a spirit of gentleness? I just pray that it would be gentle. That every time you come into this house, that you would just be reminded that you're a saint, not a sinner. You're a saint, not a sinner. You were a sinner saved by grace, but what has he called you into? He's called you out of that identity and into sainthood. Some of you, you got this lie going through your head, and you keep saying it over and over. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And you wonder why you keep doing the same sins over and over, because you got to change the old lies. You got to break the old lies off. You're not a sinner anymore. You're called to be a saint. In this house, you're called to be a saint. He's raising you up. He's changing you, and he's transforming you from the inside out. From the day you enter this house to the day you leave, whether that's when Jesus comes back or he calls you home, I pray that your life would not look the same. I pray that you would look back and say, I came in a sinner, but he raised me up into sainthood. He raised me up into sonhood and to daughtership. He raised me up into his house, into his family. That's what I pray he's doing in your life. Would you stand up as we get to worship him in this moment? We get to honor him and worship him through our lips, through our actions. When we worship, it's not for us. It's not for entertainment. It's not something like, oh yeah, the worship team, they did a great song. I really like that. I enjoyed that. We don't care if you enjoy it. We worship because he's worthy. We're not here for a show. This isn't a concert. We're here to give him the glory. We're here to give him the honor. We're here to give him the praise. And so that's what we do in this moment. Let's give him all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name.